But there are a couple of passages that we need to look at. The one is from last week, 1 John 1:9. Can anybody say 1 John 1:9? 1 John 1:9. And? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Very good. Well, kind of good. Okay, today we're going to look at another one. And I told you it was going to be Philippians 4:8. I changed it.
Oh, I put all kinds of work in.
So that may be next week. Okay. So you're ahead of the game. It will come up. Can you say it?
Yeah.
Say it.
Okay. So finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is of excellence, whatever is of
wonderful. Good job. Good job. We have some people in here who can actually quote chapters. Okay. And so we may let them do that one day. Yeah. It's important to get the Word of God in your heart. It really, really, really is to get the Word of God in your heart. Today, we're going to look at John 10:10 as our challenge verse. For John 10:10 for next week. The thief comes but to kill and to steal and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's a good passage. Good passage. Nancy, good to see you here this morning.
Yeah.
Glad you're... Oh. How's your shoulder? Getting there. Yeah, she had shoulder surgery. And I understand that's a very painful surgery. Good to have you here. Sam, would you run back into my desk? Right-hand drawer. Get my cough drops out of there, please. You got a Halls? Okay, please. Thought you were going to throw it. Sorry about that. I usually have them in my pocket, and when I sing and start talking, my throat gets dry. And so, sorry about that. That season. It's always that season for me, it seems. So, today, I've been going through a... there we go. So we've been talking about how to have joy in the Lord. Are you finding more joy as you put these things into practice? Praise the Lord. Well, we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to pick up with that again next week, Lord willing. Did you find them? All right. Thank you, buddy. So did you know that Abraham Lincoln was not only known because of he was his 16th president, but also because he was a wrestler? He's actually in the Hall of Fame of Wrestling. Well, no, he wrestled 300 bouts and won 299 of them.
Wow.
So he's in the Hall of Fame of wrestling. I thought that you might be interested in that because I was kind of interested in that. But anyway, today we're leaving the topic of joy And the reason we are is because how many of you got your ballots in the mail this week? Uh-huh. You haven't yet? Well, it's coming. I'm sure. If it doesn't, go get one. And I'm going to talk about the election. Because, and the reason is, this is no longer a political battle.
That's right.
It's a spiritual battle.
That's right.
And we have to be overcomers. As a matter of fact, as Christ followers, we have to hate sin, whether it's in our own lives or in the lives of our nation. And there are things that, in order for us to, as a child of God, it's impossible for us to live in sin and enjoy sin and that be a part of our lives and we just kind of, that becomes our status quo. As a child of God, it's something that we want to eradicate out of our lives. It's something that we're going to hate, and we're going to do it, take every measure we can to get it out of our lives. And with that being said, we also need to hate evil that's taking place in our nation. And we need to take whatever measures we can in a godly way to stop the evil in our land. 1 John 3:8 says, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. Well, that's a hard statement, isn't it? When people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Because that was Jesus' responsibility when he was here on earth. As Christ followers, that's also now our responsibility, not just to overcome, but to destroy the works of the devil. And you have it in your being to do that very thing if Christ lives in you. Scripture says that there's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Say that. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Say it again. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So Jesus lives in you. If you are a child of God, if you've ever given your heart to Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ lives in you. It's not you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. And I want you to know that you are in, because you're a child of God, you're in a spiritual battle. You're in a spiritual battle on a lot of fronts. One of the fronts is your own personal daily life. But another front is the front that we're facing in our nation today. Jesus came so that he may destroy the works of the devil. So what are the works of the devil? We're going to look at a passage of Scripture and we're going to find in John 10:10 that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. We just quoted that passage of Scripture. Now, the message I'm led to share today is not going to be popular with a lot of people. As a matter of fact, it might make some angry. But often, too often, we as Christians, I feel like, have been asleep while the enemy plunders the camp. And we can't sleep anymore. We can't sleep anymore. Because lives are at stake. And what we do concerning this election could be the salvation of lives, the salvation of souls, or the death of many. The thief comes not except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So what is the works of the devil? One of the things it says that he comes to kill. The second thing he does is he comes to steal. The third thing he does is he comes to destroy. So anytime you see killing, stealing, destruction taking place, that is the work of the devil.
Right.
We find in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, it says, if any of you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy, selfish ambition, then you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Wisdom from hell is murderous. Wisdom from hell is thievery. Wisdom from hell is destructive. Wisdom from hell is motivated by jealousy and selfish ambition. Wisdom from hell causes disorder, chaos, confusion, and evil of every kind. And when we recognize these things in our own personal lives, we need to do everything we can to eradicate it immediately. We need to take authority. We need to take it to the cross. We need to kill it. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. When we see these things in our life, we must eradicate it from our lives. We have to hate evil in our lives as much as we do in others. A lot of times we hate evil in others, but we don't really care about the evil in our own heart. We have to come to a place where we hate evil on every front, especially when it's affecting our own personal walk with Jesus Christ. We have to. We have to. We can't claim to be Christians and pretend to follow Christ on Sunday and walk in the ways of the world the rest of the week. We can't do it. We have to take authority. We have to be recognizing the things that are in our own life so that we can overcome those things, eradicate it, and destroy it. That's what Jesus came to do, is destroy the works of the devil. And anytime we see the works of the devil rising up in our lives, we need to put on Christ and we need to destroy it. I want us to look at this morning some biblical principles God has set forth in His Word. And I want you to be the judge as we look at three things that this nation is divided over regarding Republicans and the Democrats. The first thing I want us to look at is abortion. Did you know that abortion is murder? I don't care how you pretend otherwise, whether you hide your face in the sand, it doesn't matter. Abortion is murder. Psalm 139, 13 through 16, David declared this: "You have made all the delicate inward parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." You know, there's a discussion about when a child actually becomes a person or a living being. God says, when you are conceived in the womb, I knew you, I'm forming you. And did you know that a child is made in the image of God?
Yeah.
And anytime we take a life of a child, whether it's an infant or one that's been birthed, you're taking God's image. God created that person for a reason.
Yeah.
And every time I don't care if your parents wanted you or not. You're no accident. Okay? You are no accident. God chose you. Before the foundations of the world, He chose you. And He chose you to be born. Aren't you glad you weren't aborted? glad I wasn't aborted. I wouldn't be able to love all you guys. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5, the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Before I formed you, in your mother's womb, I knew you. God says in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, these six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that kill innocent blood. What can be more innocent than a baby? What can it be more innocent than a child that's never been born? What can be more innocent? It's an innocent life. Well, they're inconvenient. Because they're inconvenient, I don't want to have this child. And because they're inconvenient, I want to abort this child. I'm glad Jesus wasn't inconvenient. Aren't you? I mean, he was this unwed, pregnant teenager bearing this child. Aren't you glad she didn't have an abortion? Thank you, Mary, for not having an abortion. Thank you for Jesus. You know, God has, there are a lot of individuals who parents have thought about aborting them, but finally decided not, or tried to abort them, and they did not, were not aborted, and God is using them in marvelous, marvelous ways. The thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy. So let me ask you a question. Where does the wisdom of killing innocent babies come from? It's from Satan. It's from the devil. It's from hell itself. It's demonic. It's demonic. The second thing I want to mention, the battle that lines have been drawn, and it seems that one camp has succeeded, and we want to talk about same-sex marriages. Back in 2004, ballot measure 36, you remember, amended the Constitution of Oregon to stipulate that marriage was between one man and one woman. You may remember that. And we as Oregonians voted for that. And it was a great majority that voted one man, one woman, marriage. The ballot measure passed. And as it did in practically every state in the United States. Now, 2004. Ballot measure 36. I've still got the sticker on my truck. And then, President Obama began to place judges in many states to overturn the vote of the people. People had no say any longer. The judges made the decision. And within just a few short months, Oregon, as well as many other states, became states who embraced homosexuality, homosexual marriages. This was an insidious Antichrist decision. And if you remember, I didn't know what to do about it. I mean, I wish I could have changed. I mean, I voted correctly. But when the judge came in place and made these decisions, I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know what if there was anything I could do. But it's on us now. It's on us now. Now, there are, let me just say this, there are people on both sides of the aisle who promote this kind of lifestyle. Okay? Let's look at some scripture. Do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Some of you may not. Genesis chapter 18 and 19. God comes to Abraham and he says to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham begins to plead with God and says, well, if I can find 50 righteous people there, will you destroy it? God says, no. If I can find 40, no. If I can find 30, no. 20, no. 10, I won't destroy it for 10's sake. Well, Abraham couldn't find 10 righteous men in Sodom, 10 righteous people. But Abraham's nephew was there named Lot. And God sent two angels into Sodom to get Lot out of, and his family, out of Sodom. And as the angels were there, the men of the city began knocking on the door, and they wanted to have sexual relationships with the angels that were in Lot's home. Lot was not clear-minded. He was not heavenly-minded. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got two daughters here. You can have them instead. Isn't that sick? Isn't that sick? And did you know that California is now trying to pass a law that adults can have sex with 12-year-olds? 14-year-olds? And it did pass. Isn't that sick? We're living in a sick country. We're living in a sick, sick, sick country. And if we don't stand up, and other Christians don't stand up, there's going to be a time when nothing is out of bounds. You know, they say you can't legislate morality. Well, why is it that you can legislate immorality? Leviticus 18:22. Do not practice homosexuality. Having sex with another man as with a woman, it is a detestable sin. Leviticus 20:13. If a man practices homosexuality, having sex with another man as with a woman, both men have committed a detestable act. They must both be put to death, for they are guilty of a capital offense. Well, that's Old Testament, Pastor. Well, let's look at a New Testament passage. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having more normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Amy Coney Barrett, Trump's selection for Supreme Court Justice, is an outspoken, spirit-filled Catholic who has already made known her plans to overturn Roe v. Wade, and has decreed that the Constitution does not in any way promote same-sex marriage. She says that marriage is between one man and one woman, and she hopes to overturn the ruling that the Supreme Court justices made several years ago. Isn't that let's pray for her. As a matter of fact, she's in a battle of her own right now. It's an appointee or selection by President Trump, and she's standing before Republicans and Democrats and trying to answer in defense of herself why she should be in the Supreme Court justice. And you can imagine the evil that's coming against her, because there are people who don't want this. And she's in a battle, and we need to pray for her. We need to pray for her. The third thing, and the last thing, there's more. There's much, much more. We could be here for a while. I'm just going to mention this last thing, and the last thing is Israel. One of the first promises recorded in Scripture is this promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make into you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." Do you know one of the reasons I think our country has been blessed over the years? Is because that we've been a blessing to Israel. There are people in our Congress and in our House and in our Senate who would rather Israel be annihilated. That somebody would drop a bomb on Israel and they just go away. That's their heart. The problem is, for them, is that God promised Abraham a land. And I don't care how many people come against them, how many nations come against them, how many rogue warriors come against them, Israel will always have the property that God gave them. They will never be annihilated. People have been trying to do that for thousands of years. And everyone who's come against them have fallen. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't lose a battle. I'm not saying that Judea, Jerusalem, and Israel wasn't conquered at one time. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. That the land that God promised to Israel, his promises are always sure. He's never one to make a promise and then take it back. And so Israel wandered off from the Lord for many years, thousands of years. God promised, when you do, I'm going to bring you back. And so like 2,000 years, they were without a land, but in 1946, God brought them back. I don't know where you stand on Israel, but I know where I stand. And I know that Israel is not perfect. I know that they make some poor decisions just like we do. Okay? But the hand of God was with Trump when he decided to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. The hand of God was upon Trump when he decided to bring our embassy and move it to Jerusalem. That was God's inspiration. Trump didn't even know it, I don't think. And to be honest with you, I don't like Trump as a person. Okay, just to be totally honest with you, I would not like to live in his neighborhood. I would not like to be his next door neighbor, unless the Lord allowed me to speak Christ to him. But God put him there, and He put him there for a reason. And so, if there's ever been a time when you can fight evil with a vote, now's the time. Now's the time. You may say, Pastor Brad, I don't like that message. And I don't like the standards that God has set up. I really don't like the standards regarding Israel, regarding homosexuality, regarding abortion. I don't like those standards that God has set up. I was listening to J. Vernon McGee one time. And he said, well, this God created the universe. Because God created the universe, he gets to set the standards. When you create a universe, you can set the standards. I like that. I like him. But you know, the truth is we've all failed. Every single one, we can stand here and we can point fingers at everybody else. Man, they've done wrong. Da, 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 da. But the truth is, there's none righteous. No, not one. That's the truth. Jesus said, if you come to me, if you repent, if you turn from your sin, if you trust me as your personal Lord and Savior, I will take away your sin. I will give you a place in heaven. You won't have to go to hell. Did you know our nation's going to hell? Our nation's going to hell. Because they have decided, many have decided, that their way is better than God's way. They would like to push God out of our culture. If some people were had their way, we would not be doing churches. We're doing it now. I'm not supposed to tell you how to vote. So as best as I could, I told you without telling you. But what I'm concerned about with each of you is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Will you turn from sin and turn to Christ? He loves you. And honestly, you may have been a murderer. You may have been involved in homosexual activity. You may have one time hated Israel. You may have disregarded God's law and his word in every way imaginable. But today you're hearing the truth. And you're saying, you know what? God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he does. Regardless. I dare say that no one of us would want to stand up here and tell everything that we've ever done. Myself included. That's between me and God. That's between me and God. You washed it away. That's right. So this morning we're going to have an invitation. Maybe you've been thinking incorrectly about some things and you just want to say, God, I want to think the way you think. Or maybe this morning you realize that you're separated from God because of your sin. And you want to be forgiven and come into his kingdom. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for laying it out pretty clearly in your word. What's expected of us? But I also realize, Father, that we have failed in so many ways. God, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that today they would turn to you. And God, that you would teach us to hate evil to the point of destroying the works of the devil as much as we're able, particularly in our own lives as well as in the lives of this nation. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you need prayer.